Hi, I'm Kat.
I'm Aileen.
And I'm Carly.
This is Murder.
Mystery.
And mac and cheese.
Woo!
Eat breakfast before I go to work, and then I don't eat it all throughout the day, and then
Let
I
me.
eat dinner, and then after dinner I inhale my entire
Yeah.
pantry.
Let me tell you though, when I got the second dose and I was feeling like garbage, the only thing that I was putting in my body was some form of caffeine, which I know I shouldn't have done, my antidepressant, and the vaccine, and that was it.
Jesus.
Well, I mean, water, but like also.
Oh, Jesus.
Good vibes. My dog is a cracker.
Raina.
She just dive bombed her lamb toy that she hasn't played with in 75 years.
So I got this mac and cheese in the frozen island, frozen aisle.
The
Ooh.
frozen island.
I got this mac and cheese in the frozen aisle at Stop and Shop. And the brand is called, I think it's Evol. I don't know. It's literally love backwards.
Evil.
And
Evil.
the flavor that I got is Chipotle chicken mac and cheese.
Ooh,
And it was
damn.
very good. Honestly, it was really good, but it was a little spicy for me. But the description is tubetti pasta and tender white meat chicken, all combined with an insanely tasty chipotle cheddar cheese sauce and topped with a corn tortilla crumble.
That sounds
And it was
pretty
very
good.
good. Honestly, for frozen mac and cheese, I was pretty impressed. And it kind of like stepped it up a little bit just from
Yeah.
normal frozen mac and cheese. So I honestly thought it was pretty good.
There you go. I had
I'd
Kraft
probably
yesterday.
like a 7 out of 10.
That's fair.
7 out of 10.
Had Kraft mac and cheese yesterday in the shape of unicorns. I give it a solid 7.5
Love that.
out of 10. Yeah. Can't go wrong. Also, side note, I made ramen today, but I put egg in it, like fried egg in it. So I had like the
Oh,
juicy middle, and it was so good.
that
Great.
sounds like a
Love the
TikTok
people on
thing.
TikTok that like upgrade their ramen.
Yeah,
Have
I
you seen
love
the people
ramen.
that do that?
Yeah.
Because
Like
I
I do
like
with all my mac
ramen
and
because of
cheeses.
how easy it is, but I really like the sauce or like seasoning that comes with the ramen is so salty
Yeah.
that I don't love it.
I usually put like half of it in there so it's not completely, and then I just like mix that, and then I let a little bit of like, I've started using like chicken broth to put in it or chicken stock, whatever, something in it to make it a little juicy, but then egg.
So today I bring you I
Oh man.
bring you. Now, I don't know if this grocery store exists like worldwide. It's called Adams. It's also known as IGA. Kat knows it.
I
I do
have
know it.
never heard of it.
No,
I live in
it's
the
not
same
here.
state as you, and I've never heard of
I know.
it.
Well, the thing is, it's most popular where Kat and I met, in the
Yes.
town that Kat and I met in. But so they have like a lot of like already prepared fresh foods. So like this wasn't frozen, and it's the big, like, honestly, these are my favorite noodles. Is I think I don't know what they're called, and I'm not gonna pretend like I know. But real pasta, they
Yeah.
cook it and they prep it, but they prep it cold. And then you bring it home and you bake it.
Ooh.
And it's like
Oh.
ready to go.
Wow,
So
yum.
this was their family size. Mind you, I only ate half so far.
Fuck yeah.
And it had a white, like creamy, like a Velveeta kind of on all of the pasta. And then
I'm
it had
salivating
cheddar
right now.
cheese. What's that?
I said I'm salivating right now.
Oh,
And then it had cheddar on top with like some kind of like leafy garnish that like you're really not supposed to probably eat kind of thing. But
fiber.
so, and you know I always add stuff to mine.
Oh, yes.
I added a big old handful of cheddar cheese more to the top. And I added breadcrumbs, salt and pepper.
Ooh.
And it is pretty damn good.
That honestly sounds delicious.
That sounds
It's
amazing.
It's definitely best when it's like piping hot.
Yeah.
Like right
makes sense.
Out. But very good. Yeah. And I never knew. And I think the boxes, the container is like one of those like square to go containers. Yeah. Usually Chinese food comes in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Packed up to the top.
Woo!
For $8.
Woo. What would you rank it? Like the rating.
You know, I'd probably give it an 8 out of 10.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. It's really good. And you guys know how much I brag about my mom's mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So for my scale, that's my 10.
Hell yeah.
So for this to be an 8,
it's pretty good.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah.
I'll probably disappear in the middle of the podcast to go get the other half.
That's fair.
I love that. I always try to do that. I try to like only eat some of it. And then I'm like, if I want more, I can get more. And I always end up getting more of like whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I have no self-control when it comes to food.
Same.
I love food too much.
Me too. Okay. Well, let's talk about what we're talking about today. So this is known as the Greyhound bus murder. I don't know if you've heard of this. The victim's name is Tim McLean. I'm not sure. I've heard a couple of different pronunciations, but so that's the victim, Tim McLean. He was born October 3rd of 1985, and he grew up outside Winnipeg in a small town called Ely, Manitoba, like tiny town, like everybody knew everybody, that kind of thing. Like you see a lot of those more in like the Midwest, like the itty bitty little, like, anyway, Tim was very outgoing. He loved people. He was extroverted and he could literally befriend anybody. Like you could just, that's all people would say is he's outgoing and could make friends with anyone. So one summer, and this was in about 2007. A friend of his like hit him up to find out what he was doing for the summer and let him know that, okay, well, there's a potential job opportunity for about a week. Would you like to do it? So they both were like, all right, let's do it. So they go to take the job, which ended up being at a carnival, but it was super fun and perfect for Tim. Like he totally loved it and enjoyed being there. It started out as like a quick seasonal job, basically. And people around him said that he was very passionate about it. So he loved doing what he was doing. At this time, sources say that Tim had a girlfriend named Colleen. They had, in fact, known each other since first grade. But, in between that time, she had gotten married and divorced. But then they reconnected and got together. So after the job, after his stint at this carnival, some friends had actually offered to pay for a plane ticket for him to take rather than take a bus after this, because it was a long bus ride. And they're just like, why don't you just take a plane? You can get home faster, whatever. The bus ride was going to be about a 24-hour ride.
Oof.
But Tim insisted anyway, and he booked a ticket for a Greyhound bus. And just after midnight on July 30th, bus 1170 began its 24-hour journey. Okay, so then we're going to find out a little bit about the murderer. Okay? His name he's still alive, Vince Lee. And Vince was born April 30th of 1968 in China and eventually moved to Canada in June of 2001. He went to college, graduated with a computer programming degree, and ended up getting a job in Winnipeg at a church for about 6 months. That lasted that long, anyway. And in this time, he got married to his wife, Anna. Now, his boss at this job said that Vince had seemed really nice, really normal, happy, grateful for this job. But unfortunately, since he did move from China, there was a language barrier. And the boss said that it was really, really, really frustrating for him. And it was obvious. He could very much tell that it was a frustration. Because obviously, like, who wouldn't be frustrated when you're trying to communicate, but people can't understand you? And that, I get that. But the boss also said that Vince showed no signs of aggression, nothing, no anger, nothing like that. So jump forward to 2005. You know, so the church job, either he left or got fired. I was unclear. I basically used a Bailey Sarian video for this.
2 weeks in a row, Bailey Sarian, our queen.
Hell yeah. So in 2005, Vince ended up working as a forklift operator while his wife worked as a waitress. I've always kind of wanted to drive a forklift, but then I'm like, I'm going to run into shit and kill everyone. So
you would purposely run into shit and kill everyone.
Hell yeah. For anyone wondering, that was a joke.
I love how none of us laughed.
I don't want to actually kill anyone.
Of course I would run people over with a forklift.
Just imagine seeing on the news, and there's a police chase going on, and the woman is, oh shit, it's a forklift on the highway.
Oh my god.
And Sean would be like, that's my fucking idiot. Oh my god.
Who's that lady? I don't know who that is.
I don't know her.
Like my wife, but I don't know
we
her.
We don't know her. Fuck. Okay. So then jump to 2006. So within like these time jumps, he was working and like doing his thing, married to his wife. They were moving different places. So in 2006, they moved to Edmonton. I am not Canadian, nor do I know where places in Canada are. So if any of y'all can help us out, please do, because geography is not my strong point. Okay, just got to clarify that. So after the move to Edmonton, he ended up just working like odd jobs and like jumping from job to job. So this included working at Walmart, different fast food places, and as a newspaper delivery person. And over this time, he got more and more frustrated because language barrier, and he, you know, had this degree and he was not putting it to good use, which fair enough. I feel you, but like a lot of people also feel that as well. In 2005, so before the move, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia. Okay. And it actually ended up either going untreated or he just didn't take his medication. I wasn't quite sure which. I can update later. But so due to that, he ended up just straight up like saying, you know, peace out to his wife. So they got divorced after he left a note saying, quote, I am gone. Don't look for me. I wish you were happy, unquote. Super. Oh, wow. So he's just gone. He left. He's like, okay,
very to the point.
That's kind of
dramatic, right? Like,
how long were they married?
So they got married.
Like, it wasn't like a short amount of time, right?
So it was only like a handful of years. It wasn't long because he only moved to Canada in 2001. So I believe.
I feel
so
like that's long enough, though, that like you don't just leave your marriage with a note.
Yeah. So he graduated from college in 2002, and so like between then, so around 2002 ish, I can update on like more details.
Would
I did my best.
Your marriage with a note?
No. I would leave it with a text.
Mine would end with the note in the pocket.
I took the dog.
Carly did it.
Sean did it. So he goes
I'm
to prison.
Taking the dog.
Dumbass. I love Legally Blonde, can I just say? Okay.
Fantastic movie. 10 out of 10.
So nobody knew what his plan was. Obviously, he was just like, yo, okay, bye. According to Anna, his wife, this came as a total surprise to her. And just random, it seemed random and out of the blue. And she was like, what? Because who wouldn't? I'd be like, what the fuck? July 29th, Vince gets on a Greyhound bus bound for Winnipeg. He got off around 6 p.m. in Erickson, Manitoba. He had three pieces of luggage on him, and he spent the night on a bench next to a grocery store close to the bus stop. That's normal behavior. According to witnesses, they saw Vince sitting straight up, eyes wide, at 3 a.m.
That's horrifying.
I'd be like, I have done that.
Really?
My friends have found me doing that. And I stared at the wall. I sat straight up in bed. And I stared at the wall for 5 minutes. And then I just went and fell right back backwards and went back to sleep and woke up the next morning. I had no recollection of it.
Perfect.
And my friends were terrified.
Except this was a man on a bench outside a bus stop at 3 a.m. sitting bolt upright and just...
Listen, if I was on a bus at 3 a.m. and I passed a bus stop where there was a man just sitting there,
I'd be like, just keep going, go.
I would be like, I don't care if this is my stop, just keep driving.
Literally.
Literally, do not look back. Keep going, please.
My only note for that was fucking weird.
Question mark?
Yeah, questionable behavior. So it was later reported that Vince had ended up selling some of his luggage in order to make money.
Resourceful, I guess.
Yeah. Obviously,
did he sell the actual suitcases or did he sell his belongings?
Belongings, suitcases, I don't know. So he was waiting for the next bus, but there was only one bus that actually stopped at this particular station. And at 6:55 p.m., a bus pulls up. Bus 1170, and Tim McClain is on this bus. Some people get off, some people get on, you know, how bus stop works, right?
Correct.
And so in the hustle and bustle, Vince gets on and seems to just mind his fucking business, right? As you do, you don't want to be near people on a bus, right? At first, Vince sits at the front of the bus and Tim was in the very back row, like just same dude, like keep to yourself, just cornered and secluded. And this plays an important thing later. So along this journey, a rest stop comes up where Tim ended up getting off the bus just for a smoke break with many other people. And then, you know, in the hustle and bustle, people come back on and he returned. So Tim returns to his little secluded corner. At this time, Vince gets up and sits in the back with him in an empty seat right next to him. So Tim is in a window seat. So he's really cornered, right? And Vince is in the seat next to him.
Like right next to him, not like across the aisle.
No, I believe right next to him. And there were people in front of him, but there was just a wall behind. So very cornered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Witnesses say that it was clear that they, you know, didn't know each other. But Tim, being Tim, was just his friendly self, said hello. But eventually he put his headphones on, as any normal person would. Just leans his head back and listening to music to fall asleep. Same, right? Like, normal, chill behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, this bus was taking a 24-hour route. So they had TVs on, TVs going, playing Return of Zorro, you know, entertain the people. But everybody was just doing their own thing. They were occupied and busy, and they were just chill, right?
Right.
And then, out of nowhere,
oh, no.
Passengers hear a blood-curdling scream coming from the back. Which obviously wakes everybody up because you're in a bus. At this point, it's 8:30 p.m. And according to witnesses, again, Tim was sleeping with his headphones on when the man next to him pulls out a large knife from his backpack and begins to stab Tim in the neck and chest.
Oh, my God.
Out of nowhere.
Nice.
No, not nice.
Oh, I mean bad. Go ahead.
So, as one would when they're getting stabbed in the neck and chest, you try to fight back.
Correct.
And you want to get the person off of you. Just natural, normal thing for you to do. Right? Okay. Cool. Glad we established that.
Yes.
But witnesses say that either one of two things happened. Either Tim fell to the ground or he was thrown to the ground. So it's not entirely clear, but again, they were at the back and it was a very secluded little area. So obviously with this whole setup going on, the wall and he's in the window seat and there's people in front of him and he's at the very back, there was very little way, no way for Tim to escape this right now. So the bus driver, his name is Bruce, he started yelling at Vince to, you know, fucking stop. because what can you do? You're driving this Greyhound bus and you're like, what the fuck is going on? Something's happening. So naturally you're going to want to be like, hey, yo, fucking stop it. Right?
Excuse me, whoever is stabbing someone in the back seat, could you please refrain?
If you could please stop stabbing that person, thanks so much.
Remember that it is against the Greyhound code of conduct to stab and also somebody the law. While on the bus, so please stop.
We're going to have to fine you a cleanup fee for all the blood.
like the fees they charge you in Uber.
What was I saying? Okay, so, you know, naturally, this shit's happening, so he pulls over the bus. And
thank God, I was going to say, why didn't he pull over?
Smart man. Because at first he was like, what the fuck is happening over there?
Did someone call 911?
Because if... I get it. He's a good guy here. Don't worry. He pulls the bus over as soon as he can. And, you know, in that moment, once they're all off the bus, they call the police, naturally. So Bruce actually stayed behind to try and reason with Vince. Because, again, you still really don't have a grasp of what's going on if you're anybody else.
Who's Bruce? The bus driver?
Bus driver. Bruce said that's when Vince was holding the knife and walking towards him.
Oh my God. No.
Jesus.
I'm going to have a nightmare.
Bruce was like, and got off the bus.
Yep.
Barricaded the doors so that Vince couldn't get off. But unfortunately, this left Vince and Tim alone on the bus, and nobody had a fucking clue if Tim was still alive at this point.
Yeah.
So this really helpful truck driver sees this Greyhound fucking bus pulled off to the side of the road and was like, that's suspicious.
That's weird.
And so he pulls over as well. And just obviously you would, because you're like, there's a bunch of people outside and there's this bus. What the frick frack snick snack is going on here? So he pulls over and asks what's going on. And he helps Bruce barricade the door because Vince was now attempting to escape.
Oh God, I'd be screaming.
But then he was like, nah, fuck that. But he goes back and continues stabbing Tim. Where was I? So, you know, it's a bus. So there's windows and you know what a Greyhound bus looks like. So you can see inside, right? So people can see what's happening.
Oh my God.
And it's not great.
Really?
No. So there's another Greyhound bus that's on this route. Or like driving along this route, I should say. And this driver's name was Bernie. We like Bernie. Bernie's great.
Okay. Bruce.
Yes. And he offers.
A more iconic duo.
Correct. So the truck driver's name was Chris, by the way. So Bernie actually offered to go inside the bus to see what was going on and see if Tim was alive or not. And he does. He goes on the bus. As one would naturally do, he would go on and be like, dude, stop. Why are you doing this? And then all Vince said in response was, quote, get emergency, unquote, while still stabbing Tim.
Oh my God. What?
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's so horrifying and uncomfortable.
It's like nervous laughter.
Yes.
Oh, it's nervous laughter. Like, for can sure.
You get emergency? Stab.
Call 911 because I'm out. Currently making this happen.
Oh my God. Oh God, this is horrifying. Okay, so Bernie would later say that Vince, while stabbing Tim, was looking at him with this crazed look in his eye.
Oh my God.
He was like,
I would have nightmares.
Oh yeah. I can imagine that most people, after seeing that, would have PTS fucking D. So at this time, Bernie didn't end up looking at Tim, but then he did. Like at first, when he first got on the bus, he was like, nope, not looking, because that's no. And then he looked at Tim. And it was horrific.
I can imagine.
Trigger warning, it's gory. So if you want to like skip ahead, I would skip ahead a little bit. So obviously, because he was being stabbed, there were deep cuts and actually flesh at this point was being cut out because he's been stabbed so many times.
Oh my God.
So Vince was cutting so deep into Tim's neck that he was beginning to decapitate him.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine stabbing somebody that many times? So then Bernie was like, fuck this shit, I'm out, and left the bus to go help barricade the door again. Yeah. So then it was at this point that Bernie suggested to Bruce, the other bus driver, that they cut the bus's power so that Vince couldn't start it up and get away.
Smart.
And so Bernie ended up engaging the emergency immobilizer system. And, you know, at this time, they were still waiting for the police to arrive, you know, because windows, the passengers could see what Vince was doing. He was pacing and he was pacing the aisles, like pacing up and down the aisles and actually trying to start the bus right after they turned off the power, like cut the power. So then he starts getting more aggravated.
No.
So he slams on the door, starts stabbing at the door to try and get him out, get himself out. Doesn't work. But the two bus drivers and the truck driver were blocking it, so he couldn't at all. And then finally Vince accepted that he was trapped on the bus. So then he went back to continue stabbing Tim. So at 9 p.m., so about 30 minutes later, 9 p.m., the police arrive.
30 minutes?
Yes.
What?
I feel like that's a really long time.
That is a really long time.
Don't quote me on what the route is, but if it's a 24-hour road trip, I could imagine that it's just somewhere in the stretch of nowhere. So I can kind of get it. But
like GPS's?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, but like...
But still. And it's, I guess it's hard too, because they're like, what's happening? We don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know. So anyway, so this man named Corporal Harder tried talking Vince down. Obviously, it doesn't work because he's in this state, this sort of psychotic break of some sort. He asked him to toss the knife out a window, but it doesn't work. So then they ended up bringing in special negotiators and a tactical unit. In this negotiation of sorts, Vince's responses were reportedly very chaotic and made zero sense. One of these statements was, quote, I'm going to stay on this bus forever, unquote. Okay, have fun. No food, except wait. So again, I'm going to reiterate this. Passengers could still see inside.
Oh my God. Poor people. What?
Yeah. Yeah. They could still see inside. So again, trigger warning. This is worse. This is very worse. Unsettling, very gory, very gross. If you don't like this kind of shit, I'm putting you two through it. Deal with it. Vince was doing weird shit aside from continuously stabbing this poor kid. He was also still continuously mutilating Tim, not only with a buck knife, but with scissors. Don't do that.
What the fuck?
Okay. So he had gotten to the point where he started pulling organs and body parts out.
Oh my God.
Witnesses say
that Vince my God.
would pull a part out, smell it, and then put it in his mouth to eat it.
Oh!
What?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I know.
Oh, suddenly I don't want more mac and cheese.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I wonder what they smell like.
Curious, actually, what do internal organs smell like?
Probably blood
and body.
Probably middly.
That's what I was thinking. A lot of blood.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The like tinny.
Like even like... if I just like cut my finger, I can smell and taste like the iron in it. Like,
yeah.
So imagine how strong that must have smelled. Imagine being like the bus driver that walked on the bus and was like,
I can't. Woo!
Oh my
Imagine
God.
Being like, I can't wait to cut this person's body open so I can smell their intestines. This had to
be the most insane psychotic break of all time, because holy fuck. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable.
Uh-huh. Literally, it's traumatic. It's a coping mechanism God. Right now.
There were also witness reports that Vince would lick the blood off his hands and arms.
Ah!
Oh no!
Okay, and then he'd walk up and down the aisle carrying various body parts and shoving them into, not garbage bags, but like grocery bags.
What?
For reasons, I don't know.
Oh, God.
Okay, again, trigger warning. He picks up Tim's head and carries it back and forth the aisle as if he's proud of it. Witnesses say this.
And these are just witnesses just hanging like, out, like,
getting outside the bus. Because, like, why remember, would you be watching? They're pulled over on the side of a highway.
Oh, Jesus.
Why would you be watching? Like, I literally would be, like, so facing the other way.
In Bailey's video.
I probably would have run into oncoming traffic
at this Bailey's point. Video, she was like, well, why did they keep watching? And she was like, well, witnesses kept saying, like, it's like a car crash. Like, you're like, holy fuck, that's horrifying, but I can't stop watching. What the fuck? Except it's worse than a car wreck. Okay. So at 9:30 to 10 p.m., the stranded passengers were picked up. Somehow they were transported to the Brandon RCMP detachment. So the police be interviewed and questioned. July 31st of 2008. 10:30 p.m., Vince ended up breaking one of the back windows of the bus and started throwing his stuff out, including the scissors and the knife. He jumps out and tries to make a run for it, effectively resisting arrest, but the police tase him. Hell yeah. Police go onto the bus and see a horrific scene. Obviously.
There's probably just fucking organs and guts everywhere.
Yeah, trash bags everywhere with body parts inside.
Oh my God.
He was putting them in trash bags?
Imagine the clean.
Like grocery bags or something like that. Yeah.
Just imagine the cleanup.
Just burn the bus. Just burn it.
Yeah, honestly.
Tim's ears, nose, tongue were missing, along with his eyes and part of his heart.
Oh, Jesus.
He gouged his eyes out?
Yeah. Or stabbed him. I don't know. They ended up searching Vince and found some of the parts in his pockets. Unfortunately, Tim's eyes and the piece of his heart were never recovered, but assumed eaten. Eyes wouldn't taste good. Dumb bitch. They're just gooshy. They're just full of.
Oh my God. Oh.
Dumb idiot.
Did you guys ever eat those candies on Halloween that were eyeballs?
I never liked those.
No.
They weren't my favorite, but I would eat them just because I was like,
it's candy.
I'm curious about what eyeballs tasted like. Is that it, Aileen?
Yes.
But like,
I knew it.
Even if you like heard the story of like Jeffrey Dahmer or like any sort of cannibal, you never hear about them eating like eyeballs because
usually they go for
nothing in eyeballs. It's just fluid. If you pop an eye, it's just going to go.
Oh, cat.
I cannot believe you just did that.
Well, I did.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I'm not expecting this to be this traumatic.
I know.
I did not think it was going to be this way.
I didn't either.
When I was told you that was going to be this way.
Oh, fuck. Okay. So clap away the pain. Clap away the pain.
Yeah, really.
So at 10 a.m. the following morning, Greyhound representatives took these passengers to Walmart or like some store to get new clothes to replace their blood-soaked ones. So they sent them on another bus to Winnipeg to get back home.
I could never go on a bus again.
No, I'd never go on a bus again.
At that point, I would not have, you could not have put me on another bus.
Absolutely not.
I would have been like, bitch, I'm walking.
I'll hitchhike. Fuck off.
I will literally walk.
Yeah, if you hitchhike, you're going to be seeing less weird shit than that. That's literally. For sure.
So anyway, Vince's trial was on March 3rd of 2009. He pled, quote, not criminally responsible, unquote. This means that he accepted that the offense happened, but he wasn't fully mentally there. Which I kind of would believe. It's like on a break.
Especially since he didn't know Tim at all.
No, I know.
And just randomly sat next to him and just randomly started stabbing him. Like,
because reasons. I know.
Like it had to have been his break. Probably untreated schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm. So, going off of that, Vince told his story, claiming that voices in his head told him that he was in danger. So, again, schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. Not saying that people who have schizophrenia are going to go off and fucking murder someone violently.
No.
But this person had schizophrenia, but he wasn't treating it properly. So, there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
He said, his story, he said that he sat next to Tim, then heard the voice of God telling him he had to kill Tim or he, Vince, would die immediately.
Oh my God. Well, I can't imagine like how, like what that feels like.
No.
Like in your head.
I can't either. No. So Vince was charged with second degree murder, but ended up being found not criminally responsible because of his schizophrenia diagnosis that he was not treating properly. He was held at a mental hospital for his care, but after a few years, he was fully discharged.
Like, into the public?
Yep. And then my comment was, excuse me, what the fuck?
Like, they were just like, okay, you're good.
Oh, it gets better. February of 2016, Vince legally changed his name to Will Baker, left his group home, and started living independently. According to people he knows, he feels incredible remorse.
You don't just feel remorse after smelling someone's insides.
Eating them and decapitating him using a knife.
And scissors.
Nope.
Come on, think about the effort you have to put into the scissors.
Oh my God.
I mean, not that I personally know this, but I watch a lot of stuff. But stabbing somebody is not easy either. Like, it takes a lot of force to get mm-hmm. in there.
It's a lot of energy.
You're cutting through bone a lot of the time, and muscle, and skin, and like tissue of all sorts. Like, oh God.
Oh my God. I can't.
Okay, so obviously, the passengers were also victims in a different way, but they were also considered victims.
I can't imagine having witnessed that.
One woman suffered PTSD so badly after having a baby that the child was put into foster care for 18 months. Chris, the truck driver, had PTSD and became an alcoholic.
Oh my God.
No words after about what happened to him after that, but another passenger attempted to file a lawsuit against Greyhound, the police, for not showing up on time. Yeah, and no Vince, shit. Guess what? It was later dropped.
I mean, I kind of see that because I don't see how the bus is responsible for that at all. The bus company, like,
yeah.
What were they going to do about it?
I mean, Bruce did everything he could.
Bruce was the hero of this story.
And Bernie and Chris. Yeah. So obviously this is unfair to the victims to get nothing because trauma. Vince's sentence was too lenient. Obviously he has like mental problems, but he should have been in that institution for life.
Forever.
Yeah.
He was getting treatment and care where the witnesses were left to their own devices to figure that shit out. The only thing Greyhound offered was compensation for the clothing reimbursement. So I didn't find out much about Tim's family, but his girlfriend Colleen was pregnant at the time.
Ugh.
December 21st of 2008, 5 months after Tim's death, she gave birth to a son. And unfortunately, a messy custody battle ensued between her and Tim's family, and Tim's family ended up getting full custody.
Aww.
The latest on Vince.
Oh no.
He's in a secondary training program to enter a career field. That's the end. That's it. That's all I got. Yep. He's gonna go work in public with people.
What?
Yep.
So why is it we could do it again?
I don't know. I don't know if he's being closely monitored or fucking what, but he should be in an
institution. Oh my God.
That's it.
He should be in a home forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Listen, to compensate for this emotional trauma that you suffered, I will send you each $5 for a coffee tomorrow. Or tea, make it, or whatever the fuck you want. Cheese.
Make it four.
That's more compensation.
$4.69.
Hell yeah. Got cat.
True. Unfortunately true. Anyway, that's the Greyhound bus murder.
This just makes me want to Google what a heart smells like.
You know, same.
Listen, I was just thinking about this and I realized there was no talk of fires in this episode.
Oh no.
So
I said burn the bus.
Yeah, but there was nobody in the bus to burn it.
Wait, what?
We have to try and get as many references to that vine where it's like
10 people died last night in the Bronx due to a fire that killed 10 people in the Bronx last night.
Oh my God. Fire. Wait, I almost made a text message that said that.
I really hope they did actually burn that bus.
I hope so too.
You can afford to get another one. I can't believe they let him out.
What?
He's in public.
Poor Tim.
He just wanted to have a fun fucking summer job.
Ugh.
Wow.
That was a lot.
Yeah. Sorry.
How do we make it better? Let's say something funny. What's funny?
What's funny? I don't know. Everyone look at my face.
My life.
I'm gonna tell a joke. My life.
Me, I'm the joke.
Me, it is I.
The Frenchiest fry.
Wait, I need to tell a joke.
We'll tell a joke.
It's not going to be about mac and cheese.
I've been drinking my cold brew out of my cup.
That's pretty.
I love
it. Iconic.
Yeah, when Aileen came to visit, so we were like hyping up these like cups.
Yeah.
And she brought me one. I was like, oh.
Aww.
Queen. We talked about it on the last episode. I talked about how obsessed I was with my cup. And yeah. So then because I raved nonstop about it for like maybe 10 minutes, I was like, I have to get one.
Or she'll never understand the hype.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's dope. Exactly. It keeps my coffee so cold, even if I freaking forget about it because I'm ADHD and go do other things. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I have my coffee. And I suck.
I like honestly thought about buying more because like even today I realized I never know what day of the week it is anymore. Same. But this morning I realized that because I bought it to bring my coffee to work and I left the cup at work yesterday. But I didn't have it this morning.
That's distressing.
So like, darn, I had to go to Starbucks like rats. But I, and then I was like, well, this wouldn't have happened if I had bought an extra one. Because I would
not
have
wrong.
Oh my God.
I might buy another one, but.
And then you'll say.
I might also buy another one to drink water. They're so good. But I also do have my Hydro Flask that was way more expensive. So I probably.
I'm sorry, you're a Visco girl?
Yes, I've had this for years, damn. Like before the Visco girl era.
And I oop, and I oop, and I oop, and I
oop. Oh my God, those were all over school, Kat.
I'm over it. Are they just on Amazon? The cups?
Hydros or the cups?
Well, both.
The SL. I got my Hydro Flask on Amazon and the cup I got on Amazon. So I think they might have other types of cups too.
Ooh. Tumblr, they have Tumblr ones too. I need 75 million of these.
Yes.
Holy fuck.
Wow, these are really, really bad jokes.
Okay.
Yesterday, I saw, this is the first time I'm reading this, ready? Yesterday, I saw a guy spill all of his Scrabble letters on the road. I asked him, what's the word on the street?
Boo! Boo! I'm gonna sue you for emotional damage.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Control freak.
Control freak. Who?
Okay, now I wait.
What?
That's like the interrupting cow one. I loved that one when I was a child.
Oh yeah, and my family would be like, "Shut up!" Oh my god.
Just in case anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting
no!
cow. Fuck! I've been got again.
Oh my god. So good. It just
God has left
me.
This timeline.
I am so tickled.
Oh, I got a good one.
Oh, here we go.
A woman in labor suddenly started to shout, shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, didn't, can't. Don't worry, said the doctor. Those are just contractions.
Oh god.
I told you God has abandoned this timeline.
Oh my god, that's such a good one.
Oh my god, that's very clever.
She's obviously a teacher.
It's gonna be me. I'm just gonna
show God.
Reactions, and Sean's gonna be like, "What?"
Shit! I literally I accidentally wiped myself off wedding TikTok. Like, I just like every single thing I see is like, if you know your girlfriend, what engagement ring does she
want? Oh my God!
Then, like, or like, if you think you know your girlfriend, which wedding dress would she pick?
And then I'm on that side where it's like the same trend, but it's like, what medieval sword would she choose? What fucking...
What chicken nugget meal would she like?
Yes.
Follow us on Instagram at Murder Mystery Mac and Cheese.
It's fine. We're crackheads. We have more fun, exciting things coming on our Instagram. So be on the lookout for those. And
oh, hell yeah.
Pay attention.
Okay, Scar.
We will talk to you guys next week.
And this is where Kat says,
stay cheesy. Bye.
Bye.